just got back today. Blinks and Irby have been away. Haven't changed, still much to say. But man, some still think we are great. You were asking we're around. And we was where we could be found. We were living downtown. Driving the other noobs all crazy. The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Yes, folks, that's right, you heard it. The boys are back in town again.
Yes, indeed, Lee.
You sound at least slightly excited about that, Blinky. Give over.
I am excited. This is cool. Yes, I think other people might be excited as well that we're actually, you know, back doing a podcast after... Oh, God, how long has it been anyway? It's been like forever.
It's been many, many months, but, you know... I mean, there was no point in doing one, because absolutely nothing has happened in Eve during this time, has it? I mean, nothing at all of any interest.
Yeah, indeed. Nothing's been going on.
Yes. No, nothing. Everything's the same. Not one system changed hands. You know, not one new bit of expansion news. Nothing.
Nothing at all. In fact, we might as well just stop the podcast right now.
Thanks for listening, everybody. See you next week.
Yeah. Have fun. Fly safe. Not...
Always look on the bright side of life.
Haha, fooled you!
Ah, no, we're definitely doing a podcast. So, yeah, welcome everybody. Let's see, when are we recording this? It is like, yeah, Saturday, July 11th. And, yes!
2009, let's put in the 2009 bit.
Yes, the year part is becoming... quite important at this point. So I think the last one we did together was back in May. No, more than that. It was like February.
Mm, yep, about that.
Oh yeah, the May one was the Vegas one that I did, which was a lot of fun to do, by the way. Even though you weren't able to sort of take part in it, but it was actually a lot of fun to do, and I still have to follow up with the dude about how everything kind of went. So, but yeah, it has been a long time. How have you been?
Well, put it this way. I quit my job about a week and a half. Well, more than that, actually. But I had to work out a month's notice.
Well, congratulations.
Before anyone starts worrying, don't worry, I do have another job to go to. But this is one of the reasons why there hasn't been a show, just because... Yeah, well, you know the hours I was working and all the travelling I had to do and stuff, yeah?
Yeah. it's hard enough coordinating this between time zones, considering the difference between, myself and you. But yeah, when you're on the road a lot and working weird hours, it doesn't help either. So that's, yeah, it's definitely a contributing factor, dude.
So, thankfully now, I'll be doing much the same sort of work, but I'll only have one power station to deal with instead of six at the different bits of the country.
Yeah, they'll come in handy. You only have to run in one hamster wheel instead of more than one. So, I mean, that's good, man.
Yeah. So anyway, how have you been, sir?
I've been good as I crack open this beer here. It is the weekend. Ha ha ha. It has been a rather busy last few months for me as well for work. The contract that I was on through my company basically got wrapped up. So we got shuffled into another larger existing contract. And without going into boring details, basically means new project, new clients, a lot of catching up to do, a lot of workload, because you know how it goes with IT, man. It's like nobody seems to be able to accurately estimate anything. So things are getting really busy right now with like...
God.
You know what I mean. But yeah, so we're getting into like, you know... sessions with clients and all sorts of stuff right now, so it's getting good. Like it's like this is a pretty steady workload. It is just the ramp up period of learning all the background material for an existing contract is quite substantial. So that's kept me busy, and I've been trying my damnedest to not let it affect my downtime, and that's worked with mixed results. But things are settling out now, which is excellent. So yeah, other than that, it's been. a really weird kind of weather period for us here in Canada, which is kind of odd. Normally our summers are pretty steady, although short. but just in general, yeah, we've had like no rain at all, like state of emergency type thing for like farmers around here. Basically all the, you know, stuff that they grow is like not growing at all. And then all of a sudden, last 3 days, it's rained a ton. And with the ground being so dry and kind of, you know, what happens when ground gets dry, it gets kind of, it doesn't absorb water the same way it normally does. And yeah, it actually ends up flooding certain areas because it's kind of bizarre how it doesn't quite absorb it as quick. It's very strange in some areas here. So it's been an interesting last little while, let's just say that much. Yeah, so we'll see how it goes. How about yourself? How's it over on the other side of the pond?
Well, nothing much, really. I mean, I finished work a week ago, and my parents go, "Oh, look, you've got 2 weeks before finishing that job and starting this new job. We're going to book a holiday now. You can look after the dog and the cat."
Oh.
About my parents' place now. The dog is stealing the remains of the pizza I had for dinner as we speak. Get out of here, Roscoe.
Roscoe! He named him after, like, the deputy from Dukes of Hazzard?
We didn't actually name him at all. He's a rescue dog, so that's the name he came with. But yeah, that's probably where they got it from. And he does completely ignore me, as you might expect.
Yeah, no doubt. Good God. Actually, that was, it wasn't the deputy, was it? Roscoe was the sheriff. That was it. Yeah, my bad. Sorry.
That was Boss Hogg, wasn't it?
I thought he was a sheriff. Oh, jeez, maybe I'm wrong. Boss Hogg was just the town important man.
Can we just, like, stop talking about this right now?
All right. Sounds good.
I mean, so, Jesus Christ, first show for 4 months. It was going, wait, Blinky and Herb are back. It's going to be great. They're going to be so focused. But no, we're talking about my pet dog and arguing about Dukes of Hazzard characters.
And only, like, what, 10 minutes in? Sweet. Yeah.
Jesus.
So, okay, pull that little train over there. What have you been doing in Eve?
Not that much, really, because, again, I didn't have time to play. But since I've come back, I've been spending some time... yeah, getting back with my gang of people and my corp and stuff, but they tend to be spending quite a bit of time on Sizzy these days, so I'm playing with them on Sizzy, which is, you know, nice, because I can actually afford some decent gear on Sizzy, unlike TQ.
Considering it costs, like, nothing for anything.
Exactly. But, yeah. So it's quite good fun chatting to them, but we are not really doing a whole lot in the game. I don't know quite why we're dealing with Sizzy so much, but they say plans which you're just going to reveal to people if we tell you anyway. Okay. So sit there and be a target like a good boy.
Indeed.
But then again, I have been kind of trying their patience, so I don't think I've got too much to argue about here.
So they haven't booted you out then for inactivity?
No, but I think I owe them a big thank you for that, actually. So guys, I know you're listening. Thanks for, you know, having mercy on me. It will be better in future, I promise.
Yeah, well, thankfully that hasn't happened to me either.
Yeah, Celine hasn't booted you out of BDCI yet.
No. I think he can. No, he,
Are you tempting fate here? Do you want to test him? Is this what's going on?
He's busy with his own things these days, dude. Don't you remember the... Well, you, I don't know. You've been so out of the loop. You probably haven't heard any of the news about him, but he's working for CCP now, so...
Is he?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. So he's... you might recognize a name on dev blogs relating to wormholes, that kind of thing. So, yeah. It's kind of been his baby. It's pretty cool.
When did this happen? Because they've been in design for a while now.
There was, I think the grand unveiling of the new Celine was done in, I think it was during the Vegas meet. So, it was the mystery. Right. I think he was a mystery dev.
So, congratulations to you there, Cell. And just realize this, Blinky, not only can he kick you out of BDCI now, he can permaban you.
Well, as you probably might know, there's several policies with regards to player accounts when they, you know, migrate into the developer fold. So, technically speaking, he has no power.
But technically speaking, him as a human being has vastly, vastly more power than he had before.
True, I suppose. Could put some kind of little bit of code in there, like if username equals Winterblink, then load blanks into guns, I don't know, something. Eject pod at random. Yeah, so... But other than...
That would be so brilliant.
That would... It would probably introduce lag. A bomb.
What?
Oh, this is interesting.
What?
And this is real-time news reporting from on location at HeadGP. I've been orbiting this pause for the last, well, months, many months, because of, my basic playtime with Eve is fairly low, so I can't necessarily be constantly relocating assets around necessarily to follow the conflict, so I've been trying my best to sort of help out with system security, if you will, around the HeadGP area as much as possible, which doesn't really amount to much sometimes depending on how my day schedule goes. But anyway, I'm just sitting here flying around the pause right now that we have there and watch some neutral fly in and drop a bomb on one of my cohorts who is sitting outside the shield, and I don't think much damage was done. But
there's more of a water balloon than a bomb.
Well, I'm sure some damage was done, definitely. But
Seldon, this is our news reporting. Nothing much happened in HeadGP in the past 5 minutes.
Yes, exactly.
More reports follow as events warrant.
Exactly, in relative real time. But no, I mean that's actually kind of interesting. You know, given all the changes recently that have happened to bombers. That, I've seen more and more these things actually being used. It's kind of cool, because not a lot of people are using them. I like them a lot.
I mean, they still suck, just don't suck as badly, though. Especially just one on its own.
Right, but that's good. It's good that it's not sucking as badly, because I still think it's probably, in theory at least, one of the cooler classes of ships, but, of course, it doesn't get a lot of use, right? So, but
well,
anyway...
But just one on its own is just pointless. Was it just one on its own, or
it
just...
was just one? But but going back to it, yeah, that's basically like my Eve time's been relatively limited. But I've been trying my best to keep up on news and stuff and log in when I can, orbit some gates, shoot some neutrals and some reds as much as I can. Just hasn't been amounting to much because it seems that everybody seems to put like frickin' 2 sensor boosters on their interceptors or something, and it's like, I can't even lock a target these days before people have them dead. It's just ridiculous. And I'm in an interceptor. It's scary. So yeah. Anyway, I'm going to have to start putting some of those on mine, I guess, at some point.
Yeah, sometimes it is good to do your own thing. Right now, it's not in that sense.
No. No, but...
You're probably working this out, that your current fitting is not helping too well.
Situationally speaking, it can. Again, depends on the target, but... As a tackler, it's still excellent, again. But I'd like to actually get some damage on a target, you know? I can get close.
That's not what your job is, to be honest, as a tackler. I mean, I think you're in the Tyrannus.
Yes, Tyrannus.
Yeah, well, that is actually a decent, for an interceptor, decent damage ship, but it's...
Decent damage? The thing's a beast. I mean, it's nasty, dude.
Well...
You should come over here, and I'll, for an interceptor, but you should fly in right now while we're on the podcast, and I'll show you.
I can't... Maybe after the podcast. I can't do it right now, because, basically, if I do that, the Skype dies horribly.
Weak. Anyway.
No. Yes, one other thing with my new job. More powerful computer soon in the offing, I hope.
Nice. Yeah, that'd be, I assume you're running the full premium client and not, like, premium light, or whatever the fuck they're calling classic now.
No, I'm running the premium client because I finally got a decent graphics card a while back. So.
And it's, you know, surprising, you don't actually need that much of a graphics card to run it, like, overall. It's just... depends on how high you start turning settings up. You know, it's
not very high in my case, but then again, I'm used to that. Anyway, can we get to in-game news, please?
We may. In-game news!
Right, well, where to start with this? I think we'll start with Evebank and the continued kerfuffle.
Really? Seriously, you're going to start with Evebank?
Well, what do you want to start with, then?
Well, is there no Alliance news that we could possibly speak to?
Yes, there is.
Alliance news?
Oh, yes, of course there is. But Evebank's the biggest thing which has happened of late, because it got on the bloody BBC news site and...
well, that's probably more of a commentary on the quality of news reporting out of the BBC, but anyway.
It is British. That means it is quality.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, sure. No, actually, I do like BBC News. It's actually quite good, so I'm just kidding about that. Don't start sending hate mail. But, yeah, that was fairly big, wasn't it? I mean, it was everywhere. I mean, Kotaku had it. There was, like, pretty much any major gaming blog had it running at some point, yep. Something on eBank. Hell, even, you know, the CBC was running a story on it. My dad phones me up, and he goes, "Did you hear about that thing that happened in Eve?" I'm like, "Really? Seriously? Do you not know what I do in the game?" but yeah, it was so funny that even my parents heard about it. So yeah, okay, I guess we can start with eBank.
Yeah, well, this has been rumbling on for a little while now. The basic point was Riddick, who was one of the guys you paid your money into if you're an eBank customer, swiped 200 billion, which is quite a good little rob. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
He went and swiped it out of the eBank accounts, which was something like, is it like, something like 15 billion in there, wasn't it? So wasn't that big a kick in terms of a percentage, but still, you know, 200 billion is a lot more money than I will ever see and have ever seen in my entire time in Eve.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, hold on. No, it's 2.6 trillion eBank had in its virtual vaults. Mm-hmm. So it's about 8%. This is according to the BBC website, but I believe La Vista in his posts said something very similar.
There was an official thing that came from Hex about this back in the day, and it got, of course, it's all closed off now because the issue is pretty much dead. But yeah, there was, what was the, well, okay, I guess I could read the post, but we'll link it in the show notes, yada, yada, yada. But yeah, it was Rick Dick. And I guess all of his related characters that had basically been involved in this, I guess they all got banned by CCP for doing this. But yeah, essentially they Scambit did some real money transfer, or RMT, for those who are...
This is the next stage, because he didn't just swipe it.
Yeah.
He went, according to him, and according to these articles, this is secondhand, what happened was he actually got contacted by one of these ISK sellers. And on the spur of the moment, he decided to do this. According to the article, he had some money problems, and I think healthcare for his kid as well, which... Yeah, you can...
yeah, okay.
Yeah, you can kind of start seeing this, seeing maybe a bit more about why he did it. In a certain extent. Anyway, gave this cash to the ISK seller who got £3,115 for it, or the equivalent in Australian dollars, I would presume. And, then got his account promptly banned.
Which I guess, you know, because of, you know, the whole reasoning behind it, I guess is not so much an issue for him. Obviously, he's got bigger issues. To be honest, like, I don't think it... I mean, it kind of... It's an interesting issue as to why he did it. I think if it was something that he could sort of provably state the reasoning that, I mean, to be honest, I'm sure people in EVE are... The community's pretty tight. Like, it wouldn't be a far reach to sort of see if anyone would be willing to toss donations at him or something, right? I mean, it's I don't know if he needs to go this far. I mean, it sucks. I have to say, I mean, it's terrible if you got health problems or your family has health problems or whatever. I mean, it's pretty terrible stuff, but, you know. I mean, anyway, that aside for the moment, I mean, it's a bank in EVE that's run by players, you know, depositor beware, if you will. It's just one of those things with Eve that if it's being run by players, you always run this risk.
I mean, it was always my feeling that with all the scams going on, because there has been some huge scams before. I mean, there was the EIB scam, you know, going back further in time, there's things like the Guiding Hand scam, you know, and it always thought, well, you know, if these guys are doing just for ego, surely somebody's actually doing this for the real world cash as well. And then it start coming into some very awkward legal territory, really.
Is it awkward legal territory? Like, has the law system caught up to anything like this? I would say no.
That's why it's awkward legal territory,
well, it's
right?
Barely even legal territory at this point. Everyone has end-user license agreements, but can you even slam somebody with it other than banning their accounts? No.
Like, this is exactly the point I made. There aren't any laws, and a lot of other laws might apply, and there hasn't been a really... Except in Korea, of course, because everything's mad there. There hasn't really been any kind of case law...
Yeah,
about this, which is what I mean by it's awkward legal territory. Nobody knows where they stand.
Yeah, so I mean, it's pretty silly. I mean, nothing's obviously going to probably come of this from a real world perspective to him legally, obviously. But other than the banning of his accounts, which sucks, because I mean, you know. But I guess, you know, again, he's got other more pressing issues with life. But yeah, I mean, is there anything really to say about this thing other than?
Well, let's just talk about the effect this has had on Ebank in the game.
Yeah, and I'm sure... Well, I'm actually curious, because I haven't been following the aftermath too much. Is what kind of effect it has had? Like, have they seen mass withdrawals and stuff like that from the bank? Because surely there's going to be a lot of people who are being like, you know, I want my money, fools.
Well, you would be, wouldn't you? It's the first thing I'd do.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't really admit this, but you know when all the banks were in trouble November last year?
Mm-hmm.
I took a load of money out of my account in cash and left it in a safe in my parents' house.
Mm-hmm.
Because there was a point since sort of October last year, and November last year, where it was very, very iffy that the bank where I had my money in was actually going to be existing the following Monday. So,
yeah, and I mean...
And, you know, if I do that in real life, by God, I'm going to do that in Eve.
Yeah, and in either case, it... In either case, a solution doesn't actually protect the value of the currency. But anyway. protects
very
the existence
true,
of the physical
true.
Representation of the currency, but yeah.
Very true. If it looked like it was getting worse, I would have bought some gold with it. But that's another question for another day.
I mean, I don't put my ISK in player run banks. I've been asked to by some people, and I just say no. I mean, it's... If there is some kind of way they could make this into a system in Eve, like an actual managed by the game kind of system, then that might be a little bit more interesting to sort of chuck money, bits and pieces of money into just to kind of invest or something, right? Because currently the stock implementation in Eve is fairly flat. But
I think the term you're looking for is crap.
Well, yes. But the point is that it's like it really hasn't. This obviously hasn't changed my stance on not trusting player run banks in Eve. So I would think that it's probably changed the thoughts of others who have been putting money in, and there's probably going to be tons of people who will have no problems with it. Still, I mean, they're going to look at it and say, "Well, my money wasn't really affected. I'm still making dividends. Blah blah blah. So it's a problem, you know." I think they did it. Sorry.
Yeah, well, the thing is, it all depends on your level of risk you want to take and how much you know, want to lose it.
True.
However, how much of a problem it would be if you did lose it, more to the point. I don't think anybody wants to be scammed and lose money, unless some sort of crazy masochist type. Like, you know, Dostoevsky, Russian author, wrote Crime and Punishment.
Yes.
Have I told you this story?
I don't know.
The best thing he had in life, the thing he most enjoyed in life, in the whole world ever, was losing money on betting on horse races and in casinos and stuff. He loved it. He described it as better than masturbation.
Dude needs to get a girl.
There tended to be a fairly odd lot Russian lot authors, though, didn't they?
They do, but seriously, dude needs to get a girl. I mean, it's a moot point now, considering he's...
Yes,
you know,
good point, well made.
Just saying, because pretty much long gone. Yeah, anyway, going back to this, I mean, I think that they did a pretty good job, the Z-Bank, in terms of hitting the forums as quick as possible and getting the players informed. Like, there was, like, some immediate responses from people who are involved in eBank on the forums, saying that there's an issue, information to come, and then really rapidly getting those updates out. So, that... So, I mean, I think that's good that there's people that are involved in eBank who, you know, are definitely still rock solid on the idea. But again, I'm sure Rick Dick was pretty rock solid on the idea there for a while, too. And I guess it's just, again, one of those things. It's like, depositor beware. You never know when someone...
Well,
could
this
just...
is it. Yeah, exactly. I mean, is it right for a player, and I'm not saying this, to have other people's cash worth a really significant amount of real-life money? You know?
Yeah.
Isn't it better, you know, spread out the risk or something? But, you know, maybe... I don't know, maybe these banks need a bit bigger auditing thing, to use a technical term there.
Auditing thing.
Yes.
I mean, if the developers could create some kind of, like I said, create some kind of system in the game that could help support this and manage the administration of it, provide auditing, etc. I mean, great, right? Do they need to? You know, how long is it going to take? Can anyone come up with a proper... decent proposal for something like that? And at that point, shouldn't you just take a look at the whole financial system of EVE and see what can be done to sort of bring it up in line with that initial vision of having, like, you know, massive galactic-wide stock markets and all this stuff? I mean, maybe it's time.
Hear. But I don't think it needs to necessarily be player-run. I mean, for example, and I know this went spectacularly wrong in the real world as well, but in the real world, banks, you know, they would take out insurance policies on their money just in case something like this did happen. Mm-hmm. You know, could we... it's going to be a very, very bad analogy, this. But, you know, EVE equivalent of AIG.
I agree.
But you see, if it could work properly, but then again, we're in the same problem of having whether players can be trusted or not.
Yeah, that's, again, the biggest trick. And if they, like I said, if they could get some kind of system in place, then at least that could be somewhat mitigated in the eyes of the people who would be, you know, putting money into these things. They might have a little bit more faith in the system, you know, versus hitting the forums and asking, is these guys legit? I mean, you could actually then go in the game and take a peek. Oh, yeah, they are legit. You know, like, the rating's high. Maybe do some kind of... Well, I guess I was going to suggest doing some kind of eBay rating system, but if that's so easily exploitable, it's not even funny. So,
yeah,
scratch that thought. But, yeah.
What we should do is get somebody completely honest to run things. So, the Bank of Cribber.
But, again, you're still putting it in the hands of the players who, for all you know... I mean, Cribber's awesome. Don't get me wrong. But at a certain point, he could just decide that he wants to go play Age of Conan now, doesn't want to have anything to do with EVE anymore, shut everything he does down, and cash out, right?
I think it's fair to say, if you've got Veldspar tattooed on your arm, you're in EVE for the duration.
I know, but I'm just saying, the possibility exists, and it's your money in the game, right? It's like, however you want to use it, I guess, hey, go nuts, but... I'm just saying, that kind of thing I'm always wary of. I'm not saying I'm paranoid about everything, I'm just saying this kind of thing, it's a lot of money. It takes time and effort to make money in EVE, unless you have, like, some kind of ridiculously awesome passive source of income in the game. And, you know, I like to have that sitting there in case I need it. That's just me.
I like to have my money on hand, what little of it I have.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'm curious. How much is like a little?
Probably in total assets and ISK, I'd say I'm probably about the billion mark. I've probably got about 500 million in actual ISKies.
That's not bad.
It's not bad, but obviously it could be a lot better.
Well, you know, the way it goes. But yeah. It, again, it's one of those things that the more time you put into EVE towards making money, the more money you're going to have, right?
Yeah, but the thing is, I find the stuff which makes money incredibly boring, so yes. I don't do much of that.
That's kind of the place I'm at, too. Yes. That's one of those arguments
the least bad thing is ratting, and believe me, it is only a least bad situation.
So, like, some people kind of bash ratting as a means of making money. They think it's kind of not as good as other ways of making money, and agreeably so, it's probably not as good as other sources of income in the game. But for my own personal needs, it's pretty decent. Like, for I don't really fly capital ships myself, so it's like, for subcapitals, you make a decent amount enough money off of some ratting to obviously pay for your needs, especially if you start getting into, like, zero ratting and start getting officer spawns and stuff, then yay.
Yep. Ka-ching!
But in general, just doing level 4 missions, you still have to grind the crap out of them to actually make a decent coin. But even, you're getting loot that you can melt down, sell for a little bit more cash, or use it to build crap if you really want to. There's other things you can do, plus, even though it's not exactly like PvP, you're still kind of keeping you're honing that combat edge just a little bit, so you don't lose, like, oh god, what's my optimal range of my guns now? I don't remember. It's still kind of keeping that fresh in your head. I think it's a good way of doing it, but it's obviously not perfect for everybody.
Well, yes, you can make a lot more money, mining. Well, a bit more money mining, but running poses and doing building stuff. Yes, you can make a lot more money, but God, I would find that so, so boring. It's not worth the time or the effort in my book.
Yeah. I'm
bored enough at work.
I found, the bomber's back. Oh, you little bugger. Where'd you go? Damn it, you cloaked. Fuck. Anyway.
Just fly near him. Just see where he cloaked, fly near him.
I didn't get an eyeball on the vector yet, so where's my... I'm actually going to do something weird and actually turn on the tactical overlay. Remember that thing? Do you actually use this? Because I'll occasionally
never,
use it.
Never. But then again, I'm a specialist dummy pilot, and that's really not one you have to think about a whole lot. Get as close as you possible. Turn on NOS. That's it.
Pretty much. But, I actually find sometimes for... especially an interceptor, for locking down vectors of cloaked targets, it sometimes comes in handy, for me at least. It's easier than spinning the camera around like a maniac trying to find which direction to go into. You can be like, oh, there he is, go. So, anyway.
You got to do things a lot quicker in an interceptor than a dummy.
Yeah, and so, the quicker you can sort of nail down that direction, it's a little bit easier. The biggest thing is, of course, the fact not that it actually... shows you deliberately the specific direction, but just that you get that three-dimensional kind of eyeball, and then you can send yourself hurtling into that general direction, hopefully decloaking the target.
Yeah, just get within 2K of him. And yep.
Exactly. So
anyway, more reports on this as events warrant. Again,
yep. So
alliancey stuff.
Yeah. Let's talk about alliancey stuff. What's going on with Bob?
Do you mean Ken?
Ken, Bob, whatever. I hear that they're really getting... Well, I think it was... Who was it? I think it was BNC. It's doing factional warfare now for the Kaldari side. And failing horribly at it.
Yeah. Doing factional warfare is one way of putting it. Epic failing at factional warfare.
Yeah.
Yes, just in case anybody like us has been living under a rock for the past 4 months... Bob lost the name Bob, became Kenzoku, got driven out of 0-0, and have now pretty much been driven out of the game.
I probably wouldn't necessarily say out of the game, but definitely out of their existing space, such as it was. It was fairly Goonswarm infested for the longest time, but I guess the last little strongholds have been routed, as it were. Yeah, as to what they do next, I haven't been sort of keeping an eyeball on the forums much, but I've just been hearing little bits and pieces from folks about what some of the groups have been doing, and yeah, like I said, the faction warfare thing is being tried. I think I would agree with some people who posted on on the WordPress Active website, which was that they would actually obviously manifest themselves somewhere else in Alliance space eventually. I'd say eventually, yes, that's true. I would say don't expect it anytime soon. Right? That's gonna, are you building something over there?
I'm knocking over my keyboard.
What are you trying to do? Balance it on its edge or something? You that bored?
Yeah.
Alright. We're talking about Bob. This should be exciting.
Yeah, carry on.
But yeah, I don't think you should expect this anytime soon. You know, nothing's really come up so far as to be like, oh, they're moving over here, you know. Maybe they'll integrate with another alliance, who knows. I don't know, what do you think's gonna happen?
I don't know. There's not really any word space, because one of the things that they're saying is the map is now a lot more settled. I mean, where stuff's still changing hands, but you don't have these hundreds and hundreds of tiny little alliances springing up, which no one's ever heard of, and just bugger off again. You remember Cloud Ring is just full of these, and yeah, just random little alliances, which, you know, would bubble up and then disappear again.
Yeah.
But you don't have that now. It's a lot more settled in the sense it tends to be the big boys. I mean, looking in Bob's old space, sort of, you know, down in the sort of southwest, you know, Aquarius, that kind of thing, Goonswarm were there like a giant dollop of custard. The Sons of Tangra, they're there as like sort of snot. Well, it's a lovely pudding we're making here.
I was going to say hat, but you went somewhere with that elsewhere.
I actually like them, so I shouldn't really describe them as snot, but that's what it kind of looks like. Custard with snot on top.
That's a little bit, that's...
So you know how well we British cook.
Yeah, that's the English method of making custard, apparently. You get the custard perfect, put it in a bowl, then blow your nose all over it.
Yes.
Perfect.
And then you got Pandemic Legion on top of them. And what could that be? That could be like prunes. So, delicious dessert of custard, prunes.
This is definitely an English dessert. It's like the English way of making sure that not only does the food do horrible things inside your intestines, but that it doesn't stay in there for long.
Well, it could be worse. I mean, you know, that's a dessert there. So, going up to the main course. going in sort of like anti-clockwise, so mostly harmless is radioactive snot. Given this, let's get off this now.
Yeah, please stop talking about snot.
But you do understand what I'm saying about the map, is you don't have these little alliances bubbling up. I mean, I'm actually looking for alliances I've never heard of here, and there's not many. I mean,
well, I think what you see, though, is that you're getting the groups that have captured the large sections, and there's just not a lot of, like, the smaller guys just trying to encroach on the territory. They just join up, you know? They say, oh, I'm in a corp, can I be in your alliance? All right, cool, and then that's it. I mean, it's like, you know, you just... I don't think you're seeing a lot of, like, the smaller guys going, I could take over half the map by this time next year if I grow my corporation in an alliance. No, they just join in and have fun that way.
Well, I mean, that's fair enough, but it does make life less interesting. Because I say, I mean, we're looking at these small people we've never heard of. And Stainless, who I'm presuming are a bunch of people who've come off from Stain Empire and didn't like them much.
Possibly.
And let's have a look. Not a whole lot else, really, is there?
Well, no. I mean, like I said, I think you're just seeing...
The Council? Yes, they clean out the dustbins and
a council of what?
Well, no, they're like the local council, so you know they like, you know, maintain the local swimming pools and, you know, employ the rubbishmen and stuff, and then tax you vast, vast, vast sums of money for this.
Indeed, it's heating up.
What's heating up?
Ed.
Yes, sir. It's head GP.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Anyway, I just think that's just my opinion of how I think that things are probably going. I think you're just seeing drift of players around instead of like whole new organizations springing up. I mean, it's quite challenging, really, when you think about it, to take over an area, really, if you're brand new, because you've got to first, you know, spend the cash on the hardware to go and take it over and then risk it day in and day out while the guys who are there just sort of defend it, right? I mean, they don't really have to...
They don't have to lift a finger some of the time, do they?
Yeah, they just show up. All right, nobody came to attack the tower. Good. Move on.
Well, it's, even if they don't show up, even if they're, you know, attacking somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, with the way sovereignty works now, there's a fair chance you can get back home and find nothing much has happened in your absence, you know?
Yep. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, that's why I think you're not seeing these huge, massive shifts like you used to see.
Ooh, new alliance. Minor threat.
Well, I'm sure there's more than one new alliance in EVE, Urban.
Yeah, I know, but it's the one I've just seen, which I didn't know before. It's just sort of that sort of scalding passway. Just off the Great Wildlands, between Quarthwork, Scorched Earth, and Veritas.
The band?
No, Minor Threat.
No, the band, Craftwork. They have their own alliance in EVE? Sweet.
They're holding a lot of curse, considering they only had one hit song.
Yeah, it's not bad. But yeah,
God, okay. We're going to get the techno heads giving this hate mail now. Going, no, they invented a completely new sort of music. Well, they invented something, but it doesn't count as music.
this is true. But okay, so a minor threat. I mean, maybe a splinter organization of others, maybe, because they seem to be doing fairly well for being so minor.
Yeah, no idea. Well, perhaps they're doing quite well because no one considers them a threat because they're using reverse psychology.
Aha! I see what you did there.
Mm.
Yeah. It's kind of like naming a character secondary.
Was it target the other guy?
Yeah, that's a good one too. No, I just... Yeah, oh my god, the East is just, you know, just looks ridiculous.
Well, this is a triple A, which, you know, that's not a very aesthetic shape of your empire, is it?
It's different. It's different. We're not going for aesthetics, we're going for functionality kind of thing, right? So, it's...
Red Overlord are just there, so presumably the various Russian factions are having a really good time kicking the crap out of each other.
I haven't heard about too much of that. I'm thinking I'm not really in that area.
Well, the thing is, it all happens in Russian, which kind of rules us out.
Well, that's the other thing, right? It's like...
you may have noticed that I barely speak English.
Yes, which is ironic. Because you live in England.
I know. Isn't it great?
The supposed home of English.
Well, the name is a little bit of a giveaway, I must admit.
Yes, indeed. But yeah, so, yeah. Again, I don't really operate in that area, so I don't really pay much attention to what's going on down there, so kind of up closer to the Empire areas.
Well, Curse is a bit calmer than it has been, at least in my experience of it of late. You're not getting, you know, people just hot-dropping motherships on you day in, day out, which is a bit nicer than it has been. But yeah. Then Curse has always been a pretty mad anyway.
Yeah, but, I mean, like, in general, like, now that kind of Bob has, for all intents and purposes, exited stage left. It's pretty much... Everything's kind of settled. Like, I haven't really heard of any big, massive, huge things going on, right? Like...
Well, I think we agree. I mean, partly because we are in... Yeah, as we're saying, the new sort of silly season. Because, you know, people are off on holiday and things, so there doesn't tend to be that much going on at this time of year.
I suppose...
And partly, I think, also because people are wondering what's next, because this huge, you know, the Great War, it rumbled for years and years and years. So much came of it, so much was destroyed by it, and people are trying to scratch their head wondering what the next thing is, really.
Yeah. Well, that's, I guess, where I'm going with that is, what do you think is going to be the next thing? I can't even guess at this point. I mean, like, do you think... Because... I don't know. I was fully expecting at some point that you would see, like, a giant Goonswarm pylon, but that never happened. Right? Because technically, most of EVE hates Goonswarm.
Yeah. It probably happened, but it was all the goons together at, like, FanFest. Ew. How's that for a mental image?
That would be different. But just, you know, that, like I'm saying, like, that never really... You never really saw this happen in-game. You didn't see, like... like, there was all the people who were talking the talk, no one really walked the walk, and now they basically have all that territory and nothing else is really going on in there. So, I don't know. I mean, are they at the point now where the entirety of EVE just can't get its shit together to get rid of them? Should they?
I don't know, really, because the thing is, I don't like goons in-game, but I do quite like them when we meet up in real life. So, go figure.
Yeah, I mean, obviously not talking about them as people, right? Like, I'm saying, like...
No, they're goons, they don't count.
But just, you know what I mean? Like, as individuals, for the most part, the ones that I've met have been totally fine. Like, they've been hilarious. I mean, but I'm just saying, like...
Well, you were completely drunk at the time, if that's the incident I'm thinking of.
What?
You remember when we had the Brennewin show, and then you went to Goon Space?
No, I mean in real life, like meeting people at FanFest and stuff. Yeah, I remember that whole thing, and that was always... Yes, that was a good one. Oh, good times.
Show 23, if anyone's like wants to listen back at this. But anyway, so, yeah, okay. In the sense of this, the big battle is actually, in my opinion, between the various Russians right now, and... It's a kind of in-house thing, if you know what I mean. It's just the Russians v. the Russians. It's not something the rest of EVE really gets that involved with. I mean, I know there was a Goon Red Alliance.
But that's nothing new. Like, this stuff has been going on forever and hasn't
really...
That's what I mean.
That's where the big battle is.
But that's not really...
That's a Russian and Russians-only thing.
I sort of look at it from the standpoint of, if I say big battle, I mean, like, big battle with big results. And I don't think you're going to see big results out of that. You're not going to see, like, all of a sudden half the map turn into AAA. Or vice versa, you know, Red Alliance. You know, I mean, like, is anyone going to do something interesting, like... All of a sudden, someone does some kind of rally cry, let's all get goons, and everyone actually takes part, you know?
No, I think that's highly unlikely to happen.
Oh, yeah, I know, obviously. You know, or will something crazy happen in the north again?
Basically, what needs to happen is somebody to get hated enough, again, I'm not talking about the real-life people here, but Bob as an entity were detested by everybody they ever jumped on, which over the course of the years they existed was everybody. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, goons, they're getting there, they're working hard on it, but they're not got that quite that level of, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, people despising them. Red, again, they work hard at it, but not quite there.
Yeah.
And, you know, so we really need... maybe we can make everybody Eve hate us. Like, even more than they do already.
But, I'm being serious. Like, I'm trying to see what's going to be next coming down the pipe in terms of big wars in Eve. Because, I mean... Like, it's not that people aren't fighting, because they are. You know, it's just you're not seeing the big shifts anymore. So if things have settled out, I'm just kind of curious what's going to be the big hat tipper. You know, what's going to actually be like, oh my god, this is now the issue that's going to cause more strife in the game. Like, on a large scale. Because obviously, you know, like, people fighting over wormholes isn't going to do that.
Well, obviously not. Right. I mean, that is slightly another factor here, because I think... A lot of people certainly went into wormhole space instead of fighting to have a good check out of the place.
Yeah.
You know, and it's not profitable to go there. It's probably not as profitable as CCP wanted, but we're going to discuss this.
Well, yeah, that's the discussion coming up. But I'm just saying, like, obviously that's not going to contribute anything to this, considering it's not a static resource in any way, shape, or form. So... because that's really the driving factor towards most of the Alliance fighting, right, is resources, more or less. Mm-hmm. Or just, you know, E-peens.
What it really needs, actually, is a redo of the sovereignty system, like we have been saying for years, and I don't think it's just us being saying it. Mm. That's what it needs, but, yeah. You know, don't ask me how to fix it.
Well, and whether or not it... See, that's the other thing, is does it need to be fixed? I mean... is there any? Well, I guess it depends on your perspective. If you're,
oh,
if you're
God.
An industry, if you're an industry type,
it's been a while since I've done this. But is there anything more tedious than trying to get a system to change hands, just sit there?
Oh, I thought you meant. I thought. Oh, okay, I was meaning more from like the actual resources themselves versus the mechanics of turning over sovereignty. Yes. Yeah. Oh God. Yeah. No. No. I agree with you 100%. Sovereignty is interesting, but I think you're going to see stuff coming soon-ish eventually about that. I can't think that CCP is
eventually.
That's me being tactical. But I can't think that CCP is going to not notice that people have been complaining about that. I mean, it's, but how do you rework it? I don't know. Leave that to smarter people.
Well, yeah, that's why we're not devs
yet.
Well, I don't think ever in my case. It'll be a dark, dark day for Eve if I ever get a dev shirt.
Yeah, I mean, you have to react quicker, dude. You can't be like, oh, I just happened to stumble upon Facebook the other day, and now I'm on it. You have to be like, they're all in there, man. You gotta be Johnny on the spot with social networking.
Dude. Stop bloody spamming my Facebook.
I am not spamming your Facebook.
Stop putting bloody crap there.
All I do is add tags to your photos. That's it.
Which I delete.
Did you delete those ones? Come on.
I deleted those ones.
Those look like potatoes.
They were potatoes. That was in a box of potatoes to the side.
Okay.
For anyone who's actually not a member of my Facebook thing, which is quite possible because you probably don't know my real name, what happens is I put a lovely picture of a lovely homemade cake, which I made, Victoria sponge cake, which is absolutely delicious, and Blinky then went to put tags on it, like, what was it, light reading?
Oh, you did clear them out.
Ladies or something.
You did clear them out. God damn.
Don't put them back. Don't even think about putting them back.
Come on. So, okay, so there's like this, like,
okay,
hold on. There's like this book that's on the picture, right? And it's like the first word and maybe like three letters of the second word are visible, and I just extrapolated from there. And Urban got all cranky about it. But it was like Rob Graff. So I think I was like, yeah, Rob Grandmothers for a Living, I think, was a tag I put on it. Whatever. But I mean, it's like,
Let's look at some other examples of this, right? I put up a picture of the honey we harvested from my mum's beehives,
which,
right,
looked like pee in a jar.
No, it doesn't!
It does!
It looks like honey!
It does.
It looks like honey.
It looks like pee in a jar.
Stop spamming my Facebook, for the love of God!
It looks like pee in a jar. That's all I'm saying.
No, it doesn't. It looks like honey. If your pee looks like that, I would really suggest you go see a doctor right now.
Hey, I don't know. I mean, judging by the way you guys cook over there, I don't know if that changes how things work downstairs in the plumbing area. I'm just saying.
No, it And then, you know, you criticized me when it was all caps day.
Yeah, all caps day, man. You totally missed out on all caps day.
I did miss out on all caps day. All caps day was still going on. Then.
Oh, God. For those who missed it, Noah Ward at CCP went and started All Caps Day on Facebook. So everyone was like yelling all over Facebook. It was freaking hilarious.
Apart from Stavros, did you spot this?
No,
the one person who didn't say anything was Stavros.
Yeah, and you know, the quote that he usually spouts off about it being cruise control for cool was given by quite a few others. I was actually surprised I didn't see that more often, but you know, or from him, from the source. But yeah, no, I just think you need to probably like maybe relax about the Facebook thing, man. Don't be so high strung. Don't take Facebook seriously.
Is there any way to like ban you from posting there?
No.
Oh, and also in Facebook, stop bloody saying Winterblink needs you to do a job in Mafia Wars.
If you help out, then
no.
I won't spam you. Well, there you go.
No. I will not help your life of virtual crime.
Says the guy who's in an unnamed alliance in EVE and doesn't tell anybody who he's working for.
We're not actually in an alliance. We're just a corp.
Whatever.
But, yeah. Anyway.
Again, the The EVE community on Facebook is really hilarious. And all I'm saying is, dude, don't take it seriously. People who take Facebook seriously, I laugh at. Because, like, not the same laughing at you, but I've seen some people take
it. Yes, you are laughing at me, though, really. I mean, honestly, deep down, you're laughing at me.
Fair enough. But I'm just saying, like, overall, I've seen people take Facebook really serious. And it's just, It's silly. It's silly. It's Facebook. Don't take it seriously, you know. Like, I saw one person who was removing friends because they had, like, some overblown friends list that they were just adding everybody under the sun. So then they started cleaning it out, right, to make it so it's more representative of people they might actually know. And people were getting pissed, saying, how dare you remove these from your friends list, blah, 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 blah. Like, no, yeah, that totally means that...
I've never met your complete stranger to me, but you're still a bastard and I hate you forever.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's just... What's wrong with people? I don't know.
That is a very, very big subject, that.
Yeah, I know. Do a whole show on what's wrong with people. And a whole other show on what's wrong with people on Facebook. But let's not get into that just now. Boy.
Shall we move on?
Yes, let's move on. What else is going on in Alliance News? What have you heard going on in Alliance News? Because I haven't... Hasn't been my focus in the last, I don't know, month or so.
As I said, there's not a great deal going on. People are just getting richer.
Well, that's the usual in Eve, really.
Yeah. And yes, apart from Bob, or the artist formerly known as Bob, who are just in factional warfare.
Yeah, I mean, I would suggest
something which hasn't, you know how code was. So I've just been looking at code, you know, since all these changes have happened, and I've got to say, you know, my opinion of code has completely stayed exactly the same since all these changes have happened.
Oh, you're talking about changes with regards to posting?
Oh god, there's a thread here called Goons and Eric Cartman. Goons and Michael Jackson? That's quite sick. Guess what is today? Hold on.
Is that any different to the tons of Michael Jackson covers that's happened? In fact, let's not even talk about it. I'm fucking sick of that. Anyway.
Yeah, well.
Moving along.
Obviously very sad for his family and friends, but
yeah.
I wasn't a fan of his music, so I wasn't that fussed.
We are not turning this into a tribute episode.
No, we are not. We could have a tribute episode to Ken Zoku.
Yeah, that would... Oh, yeah, I'm sure someone will turn that around. Anyway.
Any news on your little bomber?
Haven't seen him in a while. However, HeadGP was swelling in numbers in terms of neutrals, and now it seems like it's down to like one or two, so it's kind of a bummer. Weak. But yeah, I think the bomber is not among the list of people here. Yeah, now he's gone. So, but yeah, I think he basically probably just ran away. Meh.
Indeed. So anyway, now it's time to move on to
fail mails.
Do 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 fail mails. Do 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 do.
Oh god, that was terrible. Damn.
Fucking, like. And even for me, that was terrible.
It was bad.
Yes, we got some feedback on fail mails, didn't we? Which made our hearts sing. I mean, do you want to read this out because you've got a more whiny voice?
Gee, thanks. So back during our last regular podcast, 25th February 2009, we did a fail mail that was between Jess Best and Gutsy Gecko. And I believe Gutsy Gecko won that one, if I'm not mistaken. And for those who don't remember, it was a pretty silly, like, Megatron setup. It was like, oh god, what was it? Artilleries? No, howitzers, that was it. Just looking at it right now.
The Extreme Flux Megatron, wasn't it?
Yeah, Capacitor Flux Megatron, pretty much, and shields and all sorts of stuff. So, so of course we lolled about it on the show. You know, this is what we do. We don't... It's not like we're intentionally trying to be mean to people.
I am.
Okay, but, I mean, we're just trying to point out, hey, look at this funny fail mail. some of them are pretty goofy. So there was, obviously a story behind all fail mails. But we got back, or at least I got back, an email from Senor Gutsy Gecko, who decided to give us some feedback on our fail mail. And he says, are you guys serious?
Yes.
Ratting ship made for the lols that gets caught at a gate and it gets posted to the fail mail section? I'm sorry. Apology not accepted, by the way. But that is kind of pathetic. You're wrong. Also, thanks a lot, guys, and well done. I got kicked from my corp thanks to your awesome announcing of my blown-up Megathron.
Oh, I get to grief people even when I can't log in. Happy day! Happy
tasty day. Tears, tasty tears. I just, oh my god. Oh, yes. Okay, first off, if your corp boots you for that, they weren't worth staying in the first place. Come on. Like, how could you not explain that?
I disagree. You get in a mega, you lose a Megathron that badly fitted. And firstly, you said it was for the lols, right?
So he did. So he probably is. I'm assuming, because he didn't go into details on this, but I'm assuming it was his personal Mega that he fitted out in just a ridiculous fashion and lost it.
Why would you do that, though?
I don't know. I don't know. He didn't explain. He just explained this.
Whatever. Well, we don't know the background. We don't know whether it's true or not. But the thing is, it was a terrible, terrible ratting fit as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, if you can't, you get a fair amount through, and if somebody actually with a good PvE fit, and just happens to have been unlucky and get caught, you know, we're not going to put it up there unless it's one of your really, really expensive fail mails, because you like those.
Yeah.
But, you know, if you just accidentally are in a good PvE fit and you die, that's not funny, that's not interesting, it's just kind of stuff which happens.
Yeah.
Whereas if you're in a terrible, terrible fit for both ratting PvE and making yourself look like a competent player, you will be ridiculed should we get to hear about you, because that's our job.
Exactly. And I mean, I don't know, I just, like, I look at it and I say, hey, you know what, I've got some pretty goofy fitted ships too, and I pull them out for the lols. Like, just, I almost try to get them lost just so they can show up on my kill board so my own corp can comment on them, just cause, and it never seems to happen. I got a really awesome Thorax one that's just sitting there waiting to die, and it'll be so awesome to see in combat, but just haven't had a chance to bring it out yet. But the point of it is that they're not going to flip out about that. It'll look silly. Everyone will see it's silly. It's meant to be a silly fit. Move on, right? They're not going to kick me out for that. I think it's kind of silly that a corp would boot somebody for doing something purely just for, you know, just for giggles. And
well, it depends, really. I mean, things, you've been with them for years and they know you're a pretty crazy guy.
Sure. But again, if I just join a corp and that's what they do without actually talking to me first, I'd say that's a decision that I would have made in the first place. You know, would have been like, you know, this is a stupid corp, I don't want to be in it, bye. Like, I mean, like,
so you're slightly taking the side of him, whereas I'm just like, ha ha.
No, excellent. I'm just simply speaking to that one particular point of, like, he's blaming us for his corp kicking him out. I say it's not our fault, his corp sucks for doing this to him.
I say, I don't care what you think, your tears nourish me.
There's that too.
Yeah.
And I forget what my reply was, because I don't have it in a sent mail, because the email client isn't actually a decent email client in any way, shape, or form.
Preach on, brother.
Yes. God damn, they need to fix this thing. But in general, yeah, chill out, dude. It's internet spaceships. Take a breather. This should not freak you out. I mean, you know, it's just a ship. It's not like we ran over your dog and then stopped and then put it in reverse and backed over the dog again and then put it into drive and went over again and drove away. It's just a fail mail. Just relax. This isn't the first time I've heard of somebody being booted from a corp for a flimsy reason. Like, I mean, because this happens a lot, right? And part of it is people just power tripping. You know, for the most part, saying, oh, I'm the king of this hill, I don't have to deal with you, bye. And, you know, like, I think it's just...
The main reason people get kicked, actually, is somebody gets suspicious that they're some sort of spy.
Well, no, I know, I'm not saying this is a common occurrence. I'm saying, like, this happens... This does happen. I've heard of it happening before for frivolous reasons like this. And I just think it's kind of... It's more of a commentary on the corp than the person sometimes. Sometimes. In this case, I mean, it's a good decision all around. I think the corp's making out on the plus side on this one, too. But it is kind of silly to boot somebody for a goofy fit like that, because we're just making fun of them. That's it.
Yeah.
Anyway, Gutsy Gecko. Yeah. It's okay.
Is that the first response? No, you got a response back from Evil Edna, didn't you? On his ludicrously expensive ship.
Yeah, again, that
wasn't a bad fit.
No.
It just happened to be insane amounts of cash to put on. What was it? It was some sort of...
It was crazy. It was he was leaving Eve or something or whatever it was. Someone, it was really weird, but it wasn't a snarky email by any means. It was just simply explaining it, and that's cool. I was like, oh yeah, no worries. I mean, like, you know,
we're still gonna laugh at you, but you know what we're like.
Well, it was an amazingly expensive fit. That was probably the most notable point about it. But yeah, he's not the first person to lose an expensive ship, and won't definitely be the last. So anyway, moving along, fail mails. So okay, so we've been out of this for a little while here, and of course I've got
being my fault that we've been out of this.
Oh yes, world. Yes, of course. No, that goes without saying. That's why I didn't say it. But anyway, so I mean everyone's been really cool in sending fail mails, which is cool. But we have so many, and I got such a ridiculous back catalog of them. It's like it's going to be tough to sift through them all for purposes of finding one really awesome one. I don't want to be like, oh, this one from March was really good because it was months ago. So we're going to try something different for this podcast, just one, because it's been a while since we've been into this. So still send in your fail mails, but this go-around, we're going to put ourselves up on this whole stage. And since Urban is so super secret and can't apparently find any losses, you know, in any way, shape, or form of his ships, because he's so secret, I'm going to send him the link to my... losses on the body count kill board, which probably won't include 100% of the history, but it will go back for quite a ways. Let me see if I can find this here. Okay, so you can clean up this in editing. So I will send Urban a link to the body count kill board for myself, which is, you know, my last kill is like a long time ago. But he can then look at the losses on there and rip apart something that catches his fancy. So go nuts, sir.
Okay, let's have a look at some of these. So what were you doing in Veleto?
Oh god, that one goes back a ways, eh?
Yes, with your mighty... large, what was it, sorry?
That's a civilian light electron blaster, sir. You don't mess with that.
A civilian miner.
Dude, that is not a light electron blaster. That is a named civilian light electron blaster.
Well, I do apologize.
That means it's better. Kind of.
God, Pandemic Legion.
I must have been moving or something, or just like...
Why? You haven't got anything in here. You've got just one unit of tricks, and that's it.
Chances are, if I remember correctly, this is probably something... Where was this? Oh, God, this is like... holy crap. Oh, so this is over in YL... Or blah, blah, blah. Sorry, this is over in WY-9. Good Lord, I can't remember what the hell it was doing over there. When was this? God, it's like 2008. Yeah, I was probably just... I probably clone-jumped and just decided to be like... Oh, you know what? That's probably what it was. I was probably cleaning up a clone down in J8, where, you know, MC used to be. I was probably just flying back, just saying, meh, if someone kills me, great, that saves me time.
and somebody went and, you know, agreed to this. Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Very that kind was... of them.
Oh, wait. Sorry, that's it's good old Tomas. PL. Yay.
Right, let's look at your Enyo.
Oh yeah, my little Enyo.
Your little Enyo with its 350mm railgun twos, which aren't bad actually. Then mid slots. Remember, with an Enyo, you've actually got you've got three empty high slots there.
Let me just prefix this by saying it was a good pick to pick this one. Anyway.
Yeah. You got three empty high slots. Sorry, two empty high slots there.
Totally.
You got five in total on the Enyo. Medium slots, You've only filled up one of the two you've got with an Afterburner 1, a 1 Mega Newton Afterburner 1. So, wow, that's going to be great.
It really wasn't.
And a mighty, mighty Coprocessor 1, taking up your one low slot with anything in. And, yeah, the other three are empty. Those
yep.
are quite expensive guns, considering the rest of it.
That was, well, they're 125, so not really expensive, but yeah.
Two 150s and one 125.
Oh, right, okay, yeah, so that was really, that's probably why I needed the coprocessor. And I had some meds in there, some Galeptos medicine, one unit.
Yeah, just to, you know, drug you out of this. And I've got to say, though, Jesus Christ, a Hurricane, a Thrasher, a Crow, a Claw, a Stabber, a Vigil, a Megathron, and another Stabber to take you down. I mean, bloody hell! Overkill here!
It's the medicine. The Galeptos medicine in the cargo hold. It's a secret hack.
It makes you immune to the effects of breathing into space.
Gives you 99.9%, you know, anyway, resistances. It was just, yeah, this was, oh god, where was this in here? I'm just checking up the location. So this is up north in 9-2. Chances are pretty good the crap fitting was because, like, probably I was stuck having to buy something from a former loss and just bought something off the market just so I could shoot something with. Yeah, that was a pretty terrible fitting, that one. But yeah, it was a pretty impressive involved party list.
Yeah, let's just look at your latest one. Well, this isn't actually a bad fit at all.
Better not be.
Is this one of your Tyrannuses?
One of the Tyrannuses, yeah.
Yep, so you got high slots, light neutron blaster 2s with void S ammo, not bad. It's obviously a tackling ship, because your mid slots are warp disruptor, stasis webber, and micro warp drive.
Yep, had to use a fleeting, just for fitting.
Sorry, the tech 2 stasis webber and tech 2 micro warp.
Right.
And low slots, magnetic field stabilizer, micro auxiliary power core 1 and overdrive injector. Again, none of those bad. Cargo bay, lots of ammo.
Yeah.
Is this your Immortaranis hit?
This is one of them.
That's actually not a bad fit, I've got to say. I mean, I'm not a Tyrannus pilot, but...
No, dude, the thing's a beast. It's when you actually start attacking somebody with it, ooh. I mean, you see what got me, right? This is actually a total mistake on my part. I'll tell you what happened with this one. Because there was a guy...
Did you get... what got him was...
What got me was the warrior. Sorry, you
in,
go.
Yeah, in a Skies 2 was flying a Dominix. Yay! So what I think happened, and correct me if I'm wrong here...
You're going to laugh.
He got his... he had his drones out, but they had real trouble catching you. But you got in too close. So he was able to turn on his newts and kill your cap... Right, and then, oh look, my micro warp drive's not working anymore. Oh crap! And then you, like, ate a lot of vacuum.
Close. Very close. Sort of. I don't think I got hit by a newt at all, because my cap was totally fine. What got me was the Warrior 2s, obviously, right? Because light drones are ridiculous against interceptors now, which is fine, because that's a good mitigation, right?
Well, they needed to be. There needed to be some way of stopping these things.
What got me on this was, if you look at the date, this was after a recent patch.
Mm-hmm.
Relatively close after a recent patch. And what happened was, I had no idea he launched drones.
Huh?
Because my overview and brackets didn't. Obviously, my overview is not going to show drones, but my brackets, I hadn't. For some reason, the brackets for drones were turned off, which sometimes I do anyways, but for this particular one, it was toggled off by whatever patch mechanism.
Yeah, that does actually happen from time to time, yep.
Right, so I went in, and to me, I'm like, why am I dying? And I'm like, oh, fuck! And it ended up being. He had, like, you know, a big gaggle of drones on me. So, yeah, that was kind of entertaining. But I did get pretty much everything back that was dropped. Somebody picked him up for me, so it was kind of nice. And I got his gear.
And not just that, yeah. His Dominix was taken out along with a stower.
Yes. So, his gear was given to me by a friendly person from AAA who looted his can and then gave it to me, saying, here's a coverage for the loss. So it was all... It's fairly one-sided for him.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a bad fit. I mean, it's nice and cheap.
The fit's good. It's cheap. It's reasonable. It's obviously not a tanking fit at all, right? Because it's...
Well, yes, but God's sake, it's a Tyrannus.
I know, but some people do this, where they'll put something on there. Like, you could, in theory, swap out the overdrive for damage control and survive a little bit longer, but... to be honest, I even find that to be a moot point in most situations, because just, you know, whatever's going on, you might not be able to last that long anyways. But in general, it gets in quick, it hits hard. Like, the mag stabilizer 2 helps a lot with that. Like, the DPS on this fits pretty good for a small ship. When you put in the void stuff, my god, it'll hurt. If you come,
Roddy,
if you come
close enough.
If you just log into the game and come to head GP, I can show you. Promise, I'm the only AAA guy in this system right now. Wink, wink.
Yes, yes, yes. Anyway, I can't log in game because this connection, which is already giving us trouble, will go even worse, so no. But let's get to your final ship on here, because the rest are just pods and other Tyranni. I like that word, Tyranni.
Tyranni, yeah. It works.
Yep. So we've got your Hyperion, which... Yeah, that's... Yeah. Probably pretty damn good DPS, let's start off there.
Yeah, the DPS in this thing is ridiculous, but it sucked that I lost it.
You've got 8 425 Railgun 2s with Antimatter L, which is... Ow. Don't want to get close to that.
Note, I also have a Spike L in Cargo Bay, so this is also... This primarily is a sniper fit, basically.
Yeah. Well... Fun. It's not a real sniper fit.
No,
the 200k would do.
No, but this is not a Megathron, obviously. No. But it's a reasonable in a pinch and can swap out for close range and do a lot of pain. Closer range.
I think this is doing a lot of pain at any range, actually. Yeah. Tracking computer 2, always useful on a Galente ship.
Two of them.
Yeah. Well, actually, not very useful on Nosdom, but that's another matter.
No. kind of
not
needed.
Don't track. But yeah. Anyway, yes, Afterburner 2, no WMD?
Fitting. WMD would have put me out of power. Yeah, I know, that was probably the only weakness on this guy.
I'd swap out one of the guns for the WMD just because it gives you a bigger speed kick, you know?
I was trying something a little different with this. Normally, I would roll with 7 guns versus 8 on this, but I was deciding, well, okay, if we're going to be busting up targets at range, I was like, well, for the most part, you know, but obviously the caution here, I know we're segueing away from your rip into it, but the caution there is, of course, that if you get somebody who comes in onto you, well, the caution used to be, if someone drops a bubble onto you, you could just bleep your micro warp drive and get out, but now you can't do that, so after... No.
But this is back in 2008, so right.
This would probably be more capable now.
Yeah, it's more viable now, I'd agree with that.
But it's not like you're getting like a 300% boost out of an afterburner anyway. Yeah. So, go.
Yeah, sensor booster 2s are absolutely fine, no problems with those. Beta reactor control, a bit low on power grid, were you?
Yeah, just a tad.
Yeah, only a 1 though, but okay.
Yeah, that's all I needed.
Tracking enhancer 2, absolutely fine. Magnetic field stabilizer 2s, you got 3 of them. Again,
perhaps a tad excessive, but yeah. Again, when you put the spike in, it helps.
Yeah, maybe. To be honest, I don't fly a Hyperion, and I don't do this kind of combat particularly, so okay, I'll take your word for that one. But, small armor repairer 2. Spot the important word here.
At this point, I had an empty slot.
What do you mean? What are you doing there? Did you just hear that? I go, spot the important word here. 2. No, important word is small, Urban, you absolute imbecile.
I had an empty slot. Okay. And I figured, well, just on the off chance that something did dig into my armor, and just on the off chance there's nobody nearby to remote rep me, I could do it over the course of 2 or 3 weeks and fix up my ship that way. But yeah, as opposed to having an empty slot, I figured I'd have something in there that might actually potentially benefit me. And that was the first thing I grabbed.
Can it often use it for heat, to the heat buffer?
In retrospect, I probably could have done that, yes. But that's not what I did.
Cargo bay, spike L ammo, targeting range scripts, optimal range script, and some more anti-matter charges. No big shocks there. But look at the fleet that took you out. An APOC, a Megathron, a Raven, a Tempest. Wow, we got like the United Nations taking you down here, dude.
yes, the entirety of EVE is represented in this one.
Yes. Another Tempest, a Megathron, another Tempest, another Megathron, another Megathron. It's bloody... Have they got no support, these guys?
Well, there is a... No.
A rock. No, there's a rock there. That's another battleship.
Okay.
There's an unknown. Oh, ion field projection battery.
Yep.
Okay. And, yeah.
I got hit. They hit me with some ions.
And it's just the entire lot. Ooh, Maelstrom. That's very nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love the ship model of a Maelstrom. And I'm not normally a fan of the Mimitar ships, but I do like the look of that.
That's the one that I'm always iffy on. I mean, I see it, I go, there's parts of it I actually think are pretty cool, but just the weird, I don't know, something about the wingy bits. I don't know, something about it just doesn't do it.
It wouldn't be Mimitar without wingy bits.
Of course, but just the way that...
Unless it was a Typhoon.
I would have probably done something interesting, like angle them, like swing them backwards, right, a little bit, just angle them.
Oh yeah, you want your little spoiler effect again.
Damn straight, man. Give it, like, make it look like fins, more finsy, like shark fins. You know how they're angled out and out and sort of backwards a little bit? That would have been cool. Instead of just straight down.
If anyone doesn't know what we're talking about, look at the Warp Drive Acted comic number 2, I believe. Which is still one of my very, very favorites. And it's the Spoiler Axe, which is a thorax with a big spoiler on the back.
Actually, this reminds me, I gotta get a new comic out. I haven't done that in a while as well. Got some in-progress ones, but they're coming. They're coming soon, don't worry.
Cool. So while he drops his apologies off, I think we're just about done with your deaths, unless you've got any more.
Well, I
can't really go for your capsules, there's nothing on them. That's the main thing.
Yeah, the fit on those were weak. just a quick note on the last one, the Hyperion. The reason there were so damn many people on that one was basically, like, obviously we're engaging another fleet of battleships at range. And basically, this is what happens when you have a name that is at one end or the other of the alphabet, is that occasionally you'll get a fleet commander who sorts reverse versus, you know, A to Z, they'll go Z to A, and mine was the first one that got nailed. Because there was nobody in the fleet that was beyond W. So
anybody starting the game right now, pick a name beginning with N.
Yeah, just around the middle point. Because this is what happens occasionally. It's happened to me twice in all of EVE, where I've been a large fleet, I've been the first to die. It's mostly because the FC on the other end is probably sorting in reverse, just to mix things up.
They could be specialist, you know... celebrity hunters.
There was a lot of people in that fleet that they could have gone for that probably had much nicer ships than mine. But
you're a celebrity, and I know you hate me saying it, but.
But yeah, it was an ugly loss. But I mean, it's a fun. I like the Hyperion. It's probably one of the best looking ships in the game, in my opinion. It is one of the ships in the game that really does look like its role. It reeks battleship. And I love flying it that way. And putting 8 guns on it, my god, it's hilarious watching them all fire off at once. Like, yeah, it's because they make that noise too. So
yeah. To be honest though, now that you've got regs and stuff, you could probably actually get some really, really evil fits along these lines with 8 guns. And you won't have to mess about with a small armor repair or two.
Yeah, and actually, if I had put on some rigs, I could have easily covered off putting probably a micro warp drive in there as well by adjusting some of the lows. But that's, again, it was one of those things. It's like it was in a pinch, needed something for range, whipped it up really quick, and it's generally a hacked together Megathron sniper fit. It's not perfect. It's definitely not a Megathron, obviously, but because they're still really, really good for sniping. But the DPS in this thing can be quite nasty, especially if you, like, you know, who I was shooting at the time was feeling that a lot.
Well, the thing about Galente is, like, you know, a sniping Galente is just, like, a mid-range for pretty much anybody else, so isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the thing, right, with railguns. I mean, like, Minmatars get some pretty decent, you know, range out of, you know, stuff like howitzers and whatnot, but of course it's, like, it takes them 10 years to reload, so... You know, it's like, boom, 10 minutes later, it'll fire off the second round. You know, good volley damage, not so great DPS per se. But anyway, that's us up on the chopping block. So probably what I'll do is I'll, I don't know, which one do you want me to put in the show notes?
Well, the worst one of all the fits, in my opinion, is the Enyo.
All right, we'll do that one.
Although your Velator was quite amusing as well.
Yeah, but that was more of like, I just need to get out of Dodge. Just basically docked in a pod, grabbed a Velator that it gave me, and that was it, so.
Excuses.
Saying. It's just, man. Saved me the trouble of suiciding my pod. And I might have actually made it out without having to get a new cloning contract, but that's not what happened.
Anyway, you got to kill some old things.
Yeah, I know.
I killed anything since May.
I need to, I don't know. I can't see your kill board, sir, so I can't see how awesome you've been at slaughtering things recently.
On Sizzy, I've been fine, but that doesn't really count.
Yeah, that's, meh.
Yeah. Anyway.
Yes.
Hold on, before we move on, if you have any fail mails, as I said, we'll go back to normal fail mails, especially if you want to, you know, humiliate somebody to getting kicked out of their corp, send it over to either Mr. Winterblink is his character name, or to me, Urban Mongrel, and send some to me, because he gets tons and I don't get so many, actually, and, you know, we will be happy to make normal service be resumed on the next show.
Yes, definitely. They're always great to read. I read them all, and usually respond to all. And yeah, some of the stuff you get is just unbelievable.
So some's unbelievable. Some of it's not too bad, though. I mean, I got somebody with actually looked like quite a nice little nightmare fit, and it's a very weird ship, the nightmare, and it's all spiky. But anyway, I'm digressing. Discussion point.
Alright, so discussion points. What do you want to talk about today,
I don't know. Let's talk about Tech 3, because it's better than Tech 2.
That's numerically superior, yes.
Yeah. It's like, you know, a whole integer ahead.
Unless you're thinking in a top 10 variety, in which case it's the reverse. But
top 10 for what?
Well, if you're thinking top 10, then lower numbers are better, right?
Oh yeah. But we're not.
You sure?
We're not thinking at all.
All right.
You've probably noticed by listening to this rubbish.
So Tech 3, I'm going to start this off with saying, did you buy yourself a Tech 3 ship recently? On Tranquility?
No. As if I can afford it.
And that is the end of the discussion right there.
Well, not quite. And lots more, I don't have the skills to do it. I think one thing about, you mentioned CCP have even been saying this hasn't taken off as much as it should have done, these Tech 3 ships, and I think the reason is because building them is such a huge ball ache.
Yeah, like, I forget where I saw this, one of the developer responses in one of the threads somewhere, I can't remember where, but there was someone that was talking about this, and it was the general adoption rate of Tech 3 has probably been a lot less than they had hoped. And again, I agree with you. It's has anyone looked into how you actually make one of these things? Because it's pretty crazy. It's not insurmountable. It's a challenging thing. It's, I mean, Tech 2 is not exactly easy to do for a single person, right?
Well, this is it, though. But I consider Tech 1 building to be a ball ache. So imagine what this is like.
Yes, but however, if you're in a corp or some kind of group of individuals who makes stuff,
it's a ball ache for a lot of people.
Well, no, like if you streamline the process, it's pretty easy. Like you can do basically a supply chain, right, where people are responsible for the little pieces. And the actual integration part of it is just some guy with some skills and a factory, right? So it's not so bad. Tech 2 requires a lot more logistics, because you start needing, like, you know, where do I get my moon minerals from, and, you know, got to react things together, and, you know, yada, yada, yada. And
you need a large pulse well.
You're starting to look at, well, unless you're just dealing with the final integration part of it, but how you, I mean, you need to spend a lot of money on parts.
You'll need that, which you can just admittedly get away with medium pods for Tech 3, but...
Right. But yeah, Tech 3 is a different story altogether, because now you're relying on, you know, a whole new separate set of environments in Eve in order to get a whole new set of materials.
Yeah, fullerites.
Yep.
Which, do you know what a fuller is, by the way?
Are you talking like, you know, Buckminster Fuller?
No, well, but the surname Fuller, do you know where it comes from? Do you know what the job was?
The absence of emptiness? We're talking like the opposite of emptier?
No. Basically, what they did is, if when you made cloth out of, like, wool, once the cloth had been, like, weaved, it was his job...
Hold on. Do you spell that W and then capital E-V-E? Weaved?
Shut up, you dog. No, his job was to get a large bucket of urine and put the cloth in and then tread on the cloth inside this bucket of urine, and apparently the ammonia did something to the cloth or something. So if you know anybody with filler... Sorry, if you know anybody with filler, no. If you know anybody with the surname Fuller, that was because their ancestors had to stamp on cloth in a big bucket of piss.
Huh. So, going back to your Facebook photos...
Shut up!
Okay.
You know what my surname is, and that means a miner.
Okay.
And I hate mining in Eve, but anyway...
Just so you're a Care Bear by heritage, is what you're saying.
Well, you say that, but at least half of my family's from Northern Ireland, and there's not much Care Bearage going on there.
That's true.
Anyway, let's get back to Eve, please.
I tried early on in this whole thing, and then you told me to shut up.
Well, now is your time, young man.
Okay, so going back to Eve... where were we on this?
where were we on this is actually making it is a complete ball ache.
Well, okay, I mean...
Because you need these fullerites, which you get
from... Well, hold on. Like, stick it from the beginning, right? First off, and before you even think about doing this, you need to get a logistical group of people in place, like a bunch of people, in order to start really making a push into wormhole space, right? W space. Because...
You need somebody to go through into W space. It needs a much more, like, snappier nickname than that. I mean, I know it's shorter than it was, but...
Well, I mean, the thing is, you need to get in there. I mean, this is... Okay, I'm taking this from the standpoint of someone who is, you know, doing this themselves or not relying on a supply chain of any kind, which is ridiculous. But you would have to, first off, invest in getting people together to go into wormholes on a regular basis, or set up a base in an existing wormhole. Which entails it says it's massive issues right away because the wormholes shift. But technically speaking, feeling a pause in there is not insurmountable. People are doing it, right? And then obviously working the content in that wormhole, ideally that wormhole, in order to use that in the pause, do your reactions and stuff like that, and yada, 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 right? So, but I guess one of the issues outright, I guess somebody was saying, and this is probably bullshit, I don't know, this is, I read it on the internet, it was like, apparently, when the more infrastructure that you're putting into the wormhole spaces screws with the drops and like the resource gathering and stuff in wormhole space, now that's what I'm hearing, could be wrong, but so like the more people pile into there and start setting up pauses, the less basically you're not going to be able to do like the gas mining as efficiently or something.
Yeah,
this stuff doesn't spawn as quick. Which kind of sucks. And I don't know if that's still the case, or if that was a bug, or what, but rumor was that this is what was going on, which kind of sucks, because then that makes it even more less likely somebody's going to even attempt to do this.
Well, frankly, it doesn't strike me as the kind of thing they would have put in the game deliberately. So it either is somebody being wrong, but of course that never happens on the internet, or, you know, it was a bug which they fixed.
I mean, yeah, but, or, I mean... to some extent, do you want this? Because then you don't have people just spending all their time in there farming the stuff, and that's all they do, making tons of cash with no, you know, kind of variance in there, right? They could just sit in one wormhole all the time.
Well, until that wormhole buggers off to somewhere else.
But the space you're in doesn't change, right? It's just the entrance has shifted. Yeah. So you can just sit in there farming the content. Your pause is filling up with stuff. And then eventually you go and make supply runs in and out, and, you know, technically it could be done.
You've got to get back to real, get the stuff back to real space at some stage, haven't you?
Well, obviously, like, if you're going to do the final build, ideally you don't want to do this in a wormhole, probably. But, anyway, the end result is once you've got all this stuff going, you've got some kind of decent supply of materials, you're reacting them in, you know, a pause, and blah, blah, blah. There's specialized pause equipment for this, too, if I remember correctly, right? It's not just regular reactors. It's something else that does it.
Mm.
I have to look into it. But the point is that you have to get all this stuff all in, get all your ducks in a row to build the ships, and by then, what's your suggested retail price at this point? Because ideally, you want a profit. And profit for that is going to be like, you know, okay, we want to offset the cost of setting up all of this to begin with. That's why they're so expensive. It's so intensive. And I don't know. I mean, you remember when they first announced this stuff and they announced some kind of median price they were expecting at, like, you know, a couple hundred, few hundred million isk per ship?
Yeah.
And it was like, yeah, I don't think so. I mean, here we are months later and we're still sort of sitting where we are. Which is obviously a lot higher than they would expect, which is obviously going to kill the market, because the amount of times I see somebody flying one is pretty rare.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, then again, we live in Nullsec, where, you know, frankly, really expensive ships don't tend to last very long.
To be honest, that's where I've seen it the most. I'll see the odd person moving around in, what the hell's the Kaldari one called again? I can't remember that one.
The Kaldari one is the Tengu.
That was it.
Stupid name.
It's Kaldari.
Kaldari. Well, I mean, I know Kaldari like to name stuff after birds and things, don't they?
Yes.
So what's Tengu? Is it like Pingu's brother?
I am looking it up right now. Tengu! Oh, wow. Boy, they really went overboard on this one, I think. What? Why is Wikipedia taking so bloody long to load?
I've noticed that, actually.
Hold on.
It's been really bad today.
Cache content for the win. Thank you, Google. Sort of. Text-only version. There. Okay, so, from Wikipedia, because the internet is always right. Tengu. Chinese? For heavenly dogs? A class of supernatural creatures found in Japanese folklore, art, theater, and literature. So Japanese. They're one of the best-known yokai, or monster spirits, and are sometimes worshipped as Shinto Kami.
Hey, look at the photo just below protective spirits and deity section. Red dude, red Father Christmas with a huge nose. How cool is that?
Maybe that's where the bird part comes in. Yeah, it is kind of weird.
Huh. Anyway, if anybody comes to you in a Tengu, you can just point at him and call him a heavenly dog and watch his confusion.
Nice. Yeah, so, well, it says here, yeah, they're thought to take the form of birds of prey, so that's what the bird thing comes in. Anyway, point is, we hardly ever see these things, and that's probably the one I see the most, because obviously more people fly Kaldari, but I have seen them, not in fights, but, you know, typically I've seen them flying around, and, you know, it's cool, but I'd love to see more. I'd love to get my hands on a Proteus.
Oh, but have you seen the numbers you can get with this thing?
Yeah,
like cruiser sig radius, cruiser speed, better than battleship tanking, and better than battleship DPS.
Easily, and that's the hilarious part. Like, from a stats perspective, I mean, people are chasing these things down like crazy. I mean, just from the sheer configurability of it, to say I can make this ship into whatever the heck, well, basically I want it to be, you know, like, by swapping out the modules and all that stuff. I mean, it's an awesome thing on paper, but the implementation of the game in terms of construction of it, makes it extremely difficult for people to actually like actually find these things to buy at a reasonable price.
Yeah, I mean, another area here is the skills for it. Because, you know, normally you need just one ship to fly, one skill to fly a particular ship class.
Yep.
Not this time, no. You need, for example, just saying, if you got the armor, if you want an armor type one, which is a Legion, which is a good name for a ship. So armor strategic cruiser, armor defensive systems, armor electronic systems, armor engineering system, armor offensive systems, armor propulsion systems.
Yes.
And in fact, they're going to bring in a sixth one for a sixth slot you can add more stuff to at some stage. So, you know, that's a lot of skills there.
Yes, but the other thing to keep in mind is they're rank one skills. So they are really fast training skills. And the reason the rank one skills, obviously, is because, well, you have the issue that you need a whole bunch in order to fly the ship, but also these are the ones that take a hit when you lose one, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if you get blown up, you'll actually take a hit to some of these skills. I don't know how that works because I haven't died in one, but I heard that, yeah, this is essentially what happens. You'll actually lose points in those skills. So you have to be able to provide rank one skills in order to train them properly.
You lose a single level.
Right.
Of one of the subsystem skills for every time you die.
Right. Which, I mean, it's reasonable, I think. I mean, at first time I heard it, I was like, oh god, fail right out the gate. But then when I heard it was, okay, it's a rank one skill, and it's only one level out of it. I mean, it's pretty quick to get that level back, especially if you're at, you know, five. It's like, what, five? I'm on mine, at least it shows 5 days for to get from four to five. But to get to level four is very fast. Like, it's rank one skill, dude. So, I mean, but it is weird that you had to... I mean, yeah, obviously... they're not actually that expensive. Let me just take a peek. Well, I'm in... I'm in Nullsec, so maybe me looking here is a moot point. Maybe it's moot today. Let me see here.
But you got... The other thing is... And okay, actually, this is a lot better than it used to be. But having these really short skills was such a hassle. I mean, thank God for the skill queue now, though. But in the old days, remember this is, you know, every 20 minutes.
Yeah.
Damn, I got to log in and do something.
Yeah, and the skill queue helps out a lot with this whole thing. And that was, like, when these came out, I bought them. And if I remember correctly, they weren't that expensive. I can't see them on the market here.
Head.
Yeah.
Head GP.
Head. So it's sitting in cash, is not on the market, obviously, they're an Empire, but they weren't that expensive. Like, we're talking, I don't know, like million, 2 million? I can't remember. I think it's variable, but it wasn't that expensive. And again, training them was dirt simple with the skill queue. You just slammed them all in there and let them go to four. I mean, it's pretty quick. So that's, that particular point's kind of iffy, but it's the main issue here is the cost. The cost is just retarded to build and actually like purchase. That's, and I don't know how they fix that. I mean, you basically have to you have to rework something in wormhole space, really, in order to fix this, because that's where your biggest issues are coming from if you're manufacturing these things, right?
It's just, yeah, well, the other thing is you need bits of sleepers for this. I mean, I haven't tried it. Are these guys as hard as they said they are, or are they just standard NPCs?
You didn't read the horror stories day one of people going in there with whole fleets getting wiped.
Well, but that's day one. I mean, presumably people have worked it out now.
Presumably so. I have actually not gone in recently to anything wormhole related, so I've been staying in regular space.
Gas mining isn't a big deal. You know, it's been done in 0.0 for a while now. But maybe this is why it's so expensive, because trying to get chunks of dead sleeper is, you know, not fun.
And presumably they're defending the resources themselves, like the gas clouds, right? So you have
depends
to... You can't just...
where you are. They've got, like, a C rating, which is sort of the equivalent of a SEC rating. So what you're going to be facing there. But of course, if you go into the stuff which has got the really hard sleepers, you get the far better gas clouds and stuff.
Yes. But that's the thing, is that even if you're going to solo mine these things, like a single ship is not going to be able to handle sleepers, right? Like, you're going to have a really hard time of it. You need a group, really, is what you're going to need. Like, I'm not saying that people can't solo sleepers, because obviously the smaller ones and sort of lower-rated ones are perfectly doable if that's what you're going in there for. You're going in there for combat, you need a certain... Anytime I've ever, like, looked at sort of just recommended fittings for any ship going into wormhole space, the amount of armor you need and the amount of actual repairability that you need in order to even just survive it is high enough that I can't see a sort of a hybrid combat slash minor ship being at all feasible in any real kind of manufacturing sense.
So it is not really that feasible except on the really, really crap NPCs in regular space, so...
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Where you can just kind of, oh, drones, go get them, whereas sleepers will eat drones for breakfast.
Absolutely.
But just... Yeah, so I don't know how they fix it. That's probably for other people to think of, but... I think that definitely something we'll have to change for... You know, in terms of the wormholes, to make that a little bit more manageable for those actually doing this, or provide potentially some kind of empire. So yeah, kind of like what they did with alchemy for moon minerals, as I could see them doing something similar like that for this. Again, it's one of those things that I don't particularly know how much alchemy has been adopted by people, but presumably
people
some people out there.
People don't used to be that fussed with dysprosium moons as much as they used to be. Do you remember they used to get little franchises just around each one of these moons?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Hal Seti, especially.
Yeah, so, I don't know. Oh, God, sorry. So, yeah, I don't know. That's just from what I've been hearing, from what I've been reading around, and it's one of those things that I like the concept of the wormhole space. I really do. Because, like, I had a blast just finding them. Like, just that first couple days. So I was like, ooh, cool. I can scan them down. A new scanning mechanism was neato. And, you know, going in there and actually, like, discovering something new that nobody had ever really gone into before. That was kind of cool. But they need to make it more beneficial for people to go in there and actually try and make these ships, because I look at Tech 3 ships and I really want to fly one, but no way am I going to pay that much money for it. No way.
And I think we all want, yeah, all Galente would just dream of a Proteus, you know, just...
A Proteus fleet? Could you imagine a fleet of Proteuses? Could you imagine jumping right into the middle of a bunch of Proteus fleet, Proteus ships? So you'd be just, oh god, I'm dead. I might as well log out. Because you're toast. Yeah, those things are pretty nasty.
They will stop laughing long enough to lock you, and that's the end of that chapter.
Yep. So, I don't know, man. Don't know what to do to fix it, but something needs to be done.
We're going to be discussing more about Tech 3 on future shows, and more about living in wormhole space, because, hey, that's, you know, where the game is right now.
Yep, that's what we do.
Anyway, homework assignment. Okay, so for the last show, I recommended a little thing by Douglas Adams on YouTube called Parrots the Universe and Everything.
That was an exceptional video.
Isn't he great, Douglas Adams?
He's pretty good.
Anyway, I'm glad you enjoyed it, sir, and I got a lot of very positive responses back on that as well, which is, you know, always nice. But anyway, sir, what's yours?
I'm going to recommend a movie this time, because I know I tend to do this. I watch movies. That's what I do. Like, it's not all I do, but I'm a movie buff. But I missed this one in theaters, and I missed it on the initial DVD release because I really wanted to see it in a high-def format, because I heard it really does benefit from it. But and you might have seen this already. So it's called Children of Men, and it's got Clive Owen in it, and what's her name? Chick from... Boogie Nights, can't remember her name. But anyway, really, really good movie. Like, it's got an interesting premise. It would be like if suddenly, like, starting now, there was, like, 100% infertility rate for people in the world. And so 20 years from now, or 18 years from now, like, the youngest person in the world is, like, 18 or 19 years old, because nobody's been able to have babies since then. And it's got this really cool kind of, like, well, in a way, it's almost very depressing in a way, because everybody's, like, pretty much resigned themselves to the fact that the human race is done, right? So the world is pretty much turning itself inside out. England, for some hilarious reason, is sort of one of the last ones in the world, or last areas in the world where things are sort of kept sort of together. Like, there's the heavy police enforcement. I know, I don't understand how that works either.
Anybody from England right now will be laughing at that in scorn and derision.
I know. But, like, it was done so, like, I guess they were the ones who managed everything via military and police control the quickest and got everything sort of wrangled the soonest, and everyone else kind of went insane. So, like, people rioting on streets and stuff like that. But anyway... it's a really, really good movie from just, it's an interesting concept, right? So, and it just deals with this guy who gets wrapped up in this whole plot. If you've seen the trailers for this, you'll know there's like this one woman who is pregnant, and he's got to basically get her out of this area in England where they're situated, and they need to get her to a group that's not going to use this person and her baby for some kind of political gains or anything. They want to get it to people who will understand why she's pregnant and try to, you know, put this into some kind of cure for whatever problem is ailing the world. It's really, really well done. It's good writing. The acting's very good. One of the coolest bits about the movies, there's like these really long shots. Like, and you know when you see some movie or something and they'll do like some really long series of shots without doing edits? You know?
Yeah. Single shot. Yes.
Yeah. And they do that in this, and it's done extremely well, and it just blows your mind when you realize that they're doing it in these particular scenes. I'm not even going to tell you what they are, but it's amazing when you see them. And I don't know how they did it. I can only imagine there's some really, really sophisticated CG work at work there just to make sure things kind of all kind of come together. But it's very impressive from a technical standpoint. I found the ending to be a bit off-putting to me. I just was just a little bit iffy on it. I'm not going to tell you what it is, of course, but I would have probably liked the ending to be a bit better. But overall, though, I mean, it was a definite must-see. I would highly recommend it. If you can see it on Blu-ray, oh my god. I mean, it looks amazing. The sound's amazing. Highly recommend it. Check it out. Children of Men.
Okay, that's been one click ordered. It's actually £3.98 on Amazon.co.uk, which is just bargain. For the disc special edition.
That's a DVD?
Yeah. I don't have anything which can play Blu-rays.
How ghetto. But anyway, I should actually mention, by the way, regarding previous homework assignments, is that I've gone and gotten thoroughly hooked on the whole Culture novel series that you recommended like, I think, what, 2 years ago or something, you recommended one. I was like, man, I'll get to it eventually. But I finally got around to picking up that one, Consider Phoebus, or however the hell you say
Phoebus,
that.
Yes.
Yeah. And that was good. But, of course, segued from there into Player Games, which I heard is a nice thing to do, because they both kind of complement each other in the way that they introduce the Culture universe. Yeah, they're really good. Player Games was awesome. I think that was one you recommended specifically. That was a really, really well-done book. I was very impressed with it.
It's probably... Oh, Look to Windward's probably my favorite, but Player of Games is a very close second.
Yeah, I've actually gone and got all of them. They're all queued up in a pile on the floor right now because I'm waiting on bookshelves. But I've got them all. It's been a while. I've been waiting on... I know, seriously. Touché. But I've been looking to get some good bookshelves for upstairs to house all my books. So I got to get through all those. But yeah, I'll definitely be hitting them up. And that's another one I would recommend people check out if they haven't already from our back catalog of episodes is some of these Culture novels. They're quite good.
Culture books are written by Ian M. Banks.
Yep.
Just in case anybody's wondering what we're talking about here.
Yeah. And it's a series. They're not particularly in chronological order. It's just that
they're not even slightly in chronological order.
No, like they're way out of whack. But it's all kind of tied together in the same universe, if you will. So it's like little. It's like basically reading almost like Eve fan fiction in a way. It takes place all over the place and has nothing in relation to anything else.
They're just little snippets which in relation to other
tiny bits. But other than that, I like the ship names. They had some hilarious ship names in there.
Yeah, because the ships pick their own names.
Yep. And because like there's so many ships, they've run out of regular names, so they pull like a line from a movie and that's the name of the ship. It's like
it's not just that, but they call like the ships, if they're like warships, give themselves piss-taking names.
Yeah.
Things like that. like, you know, attitude adjuster.
It's clever stuff like that that I thought was really kind of kind of neat.
The Last Argument of Kings, which is a reference there.
Yeah, that's a good one. Things like that. There's little details like that throughout the books that you kind of pick up on. I liked it a lot. It was quite good. And yeah, having the sentient ship things going on, which is kind of more in consider Fleavus than player games. But it's quite neat how they kind of worked that in there as well. So yeah, good stuff.
Anyway, what else have you been playing? I haven't been playing very much. A little bit of Empire Total War, which is very good, but I haven't really got that far in it. And I've also been playing... That's about it, really, actually. Empire Total War.
Yeah, it's a good game. I haven't played it. Well, that particular one in the series, but the Total War series is really fun.
Well, you finally get a naval battles there, which is a nice thing to have, really. It's a very different thing in naval battles to land battles, because it's all completely dynamic the whole time.
Well, that, and it's a little bit more wet.
Yes. Yeah, there's fishes involved in everything.
There's less feet involved in sea battles versus land battles.
But it's a very, very good game. It's actually, the sea battles are a lot harder, especially when you first start playing, because positioning is absolutely everything, and because it's all dynamic, you've got to be thinking, you know, several turns ahead. But for your first few battles, you'll be up against the really crap pirates, and you will just get owned time and time again until you start actually thinking about it, you know, from a longer thing. And, you know, if you've got a line of ships, you'll be very careful that you don't let your weaker ships at the back of the line get exposed to too much fire. All sorts of things. Very clever.
Yeah, I've heard that from a buddy of mine who's playing it, that it's challenging. Like, you can't just sort of go into your first naval fight thinking that you're, like, you know, captain of the Black Pearl. You know, it's like you're going to die pretty quick. But
you will die horribly if you don't take it seriously.
Yeah, it's good.
But then again, winning your first naval battle is like, oh yes, I am damn good.
And they got, like, per shot, like, physics detection and stuff like that. They're actually, like, lobbing cannonballs according to physics, and as it hits the ship, it's, like, breaking the wood accurately and all that craziness. Like, it's something sick like that, how they actually determine, like, when you're doing, you know, broadsides and stuff, how the damage is applied and everything. It's kind of ridiculous.
Very cool. Anyway, what have you been playing, sir?
Lots. Because, like I said, you know, generally speaking, I've been pretty swamped at work. I come home and usually just don't want to log into Eve for 4 hours and spin around and pause. So sometimes I'll just hit the consoles. So I've been playing a bunch of Gears of War 2 with some friends of mine that I just basically haven't turned on my Xbox 360 in a long time. In fact, it was kind of funny. I decided at one point, I'm like, I want to get an Xbox that uses HDMI versus component, because that way I don't have a billion cables coming off the back end of the thing. And, but I didn't want to buy an Elite, so I figured, okay, well, the arcades went on sale for like $150 here. So I'm like, all right. So I grabbed that, swapped out the hard drive, boom, instant HDMI port. So I've been hooking up with a bunch of buddies of mine on Live more and more lately, playing some Gears, playing some Grand Theft Auto 4, some Burnout Paradise, which is ridiculously good. Burnout Paradise, if you haven't played that, it's a great game.
It's changed so much from when it first appeared as well.
It's probably one of the most well-supported console games out this generation, to be honest. They've patched it really, really well. They've added all sorts of crazy stuff for free, and then they've got the actual pay-to-play, the DLC, the downloadable content stuff with Live and PlayStation Network. And there's some really good stuff. There's some good reasons to actually buy that. And it's like on for $20 now, like in stores if you can find it, so it's pretty cheap. I've just been doing that. It's on the PC. I'm trying to think of what I've been playing. Doing some stuff on Steam, not a whole lot. It's mostly just been hitting the consoles. Prototype, that was the other biggie. Prototype, Infamous, there's a whole bunch of all these open world games that came out for consoles. Infamous is a PS3 exclusive, Prototype's on both. Prototype is insane. It's like, it's almost in its own separate genre of games, which would be like power fantasy. It's like, what if I was a dude who was infected with a virus that lets me, like, morph my body into, like, all sorts of crazy shapes, and I'm almost immortal, so I can just shred anything that comes at me? That's Prototype. it's ridiculous.
I think you actually sent me a trailer to that. Because yeah. Blinky is an addict of gametrailers.com.
It's a good site.
That's not a bad site, but you are indeed an addict of that, sir.
It's good for videos. Don't go there to the forums. The forums are a hole. yeah.
That just goes without saying with forums generally.
Generally speaking, yes. But yeah, the game is an unbelievable thing. It's a little bit disjointed compared to Infamous. Like, Infamous' story and ability progression is a little bit more spot on. They've worked that a little bit more. Prototype's story and delivery of story is much more dark and brutal. Like, it's, if it were a movie, it would be like R rating, possibly pushing X, just in terms of violence. Like, it is so unbelievably violent and dark. It's really good. It's got a really good kind of dark story to it and everything. But yeah, it's just fun just to run around and kind of go nuts. If you've played that game Incredible Hulk Ultimate Destruction on GameCube back in the day, this is pretty much like that, except you can, it's like a mix of that plus that movie The Thing, you know, where the guy, you know, if you've seen it, right? The Thing?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. It's kind of like that.
John Carpenter film, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah. That's a great movie. But like, it's like that, where you're morphing your bodies into like these horrific forms, like claw forms and stuff like that, and you're just tearing up the streets, and like the military comes at you, sends in helicopters and missiles, artillery strikes, and you're just like, you know, wee, karate chopping helicopters was like the Penny Arcade a few weeks back. It was pretty good. You can do that. Yeah, it's great. Anyway, that's what I've been playing. Yeah.
Cool. Wee. Cool. Community news. I mean, boy, is this going to be a big section.
Possibly. There's been a lot.
Yeah, there's been a lot. I mean, where do you want to start, sir?
Oh, God. There's been, well, I'm just going to start with some of the more kind of community-centric items, obviously being community news, but like stuff that sort of provides more towards community. Like, so probably first and foremost, that sort of comes to mind of notable things to talk about for this would be Podlogs. This is an effort by Eddie Gordo and Eve, who has, that's probably his character name, probably not his real name. Basically,
how can we tell?
Yeah, but a lot of people in Eve like to have their own blogs so they can talk about the stuff that they do, and as opposed to going and setting up your own web hosting, you know, and getting, like, blog software installed and all that stuff, Mr. Gordo has gone in and actually made basically a site where you can go in and sign up for an account, get your own free Eve Online blog, and he's got a lot of really cool little themes. You can pick which theme you want to use on your particular any particular blog, and he's got a lot of nice ones, actually. Some Eve-specific ones. And blog away, and provide the RSS feed to whoever you want to have follow what you want to say. It's actually it's a pretty nice service for a free service, and there's been a couple of them that have popped up, but this one's pretty, it's very well-received from what I've found. It's like a lot of people are actually very active on it.
Okay, next up, well, you don't have an iPhone, do you?
No.
No, you went for a BlackBerry.
I did. And there's an E in there. You kind of what? Pronounced it. You kind of pronounced it like BlackBerry. Like the cheese brie. There's a
BlackBerry.
There you go.
Oh, before anyone's wondering, my iPhone has lasted over a year now, and I hope I'm not tempting fate, but it's not had any encounters with toilets or any similar bodies of water.
Well, that's good. That's good to know.
Yes, this is by Pyjamasam and Rockweller, and it's a program called Capsuleer, which is free, and you put it on your iPhone. Yep, just get it from the App Store, and then you put in your Pilot's API key. You can get the API key off the Eve website, and thank God, version 3 of the iPhone software has actually got copy-paste now.
Yeah, like, welcome to everybody else.
Yeah, I know. But it's not the only good thing in the iPhone now, actually, because the other thing I really like is the search, which they have finally got around to putting in, like the song search and everything else search. But anyway, so you got copy paste, so you can actually get your app key in without having to type out all 30 digits or whatever. And it will actually let you go and hook up to your character there. And it tells you, you know, what skills are training, when it's going to end. It doesn't actually give you a warning when your skill ends, unfortunately, although that might be coming in a future version.
That should be that time.
Yeah, and tells you how much iskies you've got and all sorts. And it's also got a very useful little section on the headlines. So you can tell it, like, if there's new dev blogs out or announcements from CCP. But not just that, you've also got stuff from, like, the general Eve bloggers from the Eve blog pack. You know, the one Crazy Canucks does?
Yep, I mean it.
So, you know, he's there, you're there, Eve Pirate's there. You know, just a whole load of people are there. The Wandering Druid of Tranquility is there.
Nice.
Yep, so, yep, you can go and check that all out. You can go and get, like, updates of that anytime you want. You've also got a server status page there, which tells you what Tranquility is up to. So I can tell you right now, just through this little app on my iPhone, that there's 40,040 people online. Isn't that brilliant?
Jesus. There's a lot of people.
Yep. You can find it on the App Store, or if you just Google Capsuleer, and I'll give you the link and you can put it in the show notes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've already got it.
Okay, so you'll put that in the show notes, and if anybody wants it, check it out. If you've got an iPhone, it's, you know, definitely worth using. And I say thank God you got version 3 of the iPhone software, because without copy-paste, putting the API key in was such a pain.
Yeah, I don't know what the hell's with the iPhone for not doing that. I don't know. It's good that they actually finally put it in.
Finally put it in. Okay, moving on. We've now got the issue of Eons just come out, issue 16. And amongst many, many other quality articles there is the Warp Drive Active story about a certain ne'er-do-well called Winterblink.
Uh-oh. Who would want to write about that guy?
Well, Zapatero does, by the look of it, because he wrote the article.
Good to have a chat with him, I think. But yeah, okay, yeah. Yeah, I remember that. It was cool. It's actually a good interview. It was nice. He asks questions well. I hope I answered them well. I haven't gotten my issue yet, because it takes forever for them to canoe it over to Canada.
Well, actually, they do. He asks certain questions well. He did an interview with, you know, CCTE Atropo, who is the artist formerly known as Ifni from EVTV.
Mm-hmm.
And he asked him some really, really weird questions. Like, can you speak Bocce? What?
It's a Star Wars reference.
I know, but it's still a stupid question to ask a dev. Please explain the abundance or lack of action figures that surround your monitor.
Wait, hey, did he answer it? The Bocce question. Could he speak Bocce?
He goes, I had to look up what Bocce was. So that answer should answer your question, but Wikipedia tells me it's a game, so now I'm really confused.
Oh, man. Well, yeah, the Bocce bot thing.
Presumably Richie was quite drunk when he asked these questions.
I would say not surprising. They probably did the interview in a bar. That'd be my guess.
Yes, possibly. But anyway, it's a good issue, Azeel, as always. Other highlights include a section on, like, modules, section on corporate branding. That's actually quite funny, because they got, like, you know, these people at this business meeting, like, whiteboarding it. And they've got, like, pictures of a guy with a white flag. It's, like, too negative. Like, different logos, and there's a picture of a bee and goes, been done. Things nice. Like that. A picture of, like, this cute bunny rabbit. It goes, not really what we're looking for.
Nice.
So, yeah, it's a nice issue of Eon. Nice big section on the Tech 3 ships. Should you be able to afford one?
Nice.
Yes. Go buy. Or, in your case, go wait for your copy to appear.
Yeah. Damn it. takes them forever to ship those stupid things. What else is there? There was another podcast which has appeared, and I haven't had time to listen to this one yet, but it is on my list of things to get to. It's called Declarations of War, and it's an EVE Online mercenary podcast, and it's actually accompanied with a blog that's subsequently also on Podlogs. And I've been hearing good things about it, so I'm looking forward to actually like listening to this one, and we'll link it up in the show notes, and we'll see how this one turns out being, and hopefully we'll do a little bit of a talk about the podcast next episode that we do. But I'd like that. That's kind of a cool idea for a podcast. It's just sort of focusing on the mercenary side of things. I mean, I know I was in Mercenary Coalition, but just in general, the mercenary side of EVE, I'm curious to sort of see the state of this now, because, you know, it's not always the... It's not an easy thing to do in EVE, so I'm interested to see what their perspective is on that. So, yeah, looking forward to it. Give it a listen, and yeah, we'll see what we have to say about it next time.
Yeah, I'll give it a listen too. Next up on my list, another EVE gathering party in London.
Who?
What do you mean, oh? You don't have to go.
London?
Hey, don't diss London. It's like bigger than Canada and ish.
I can't
back that one up. But
it's just thinking you might want to. I don't know, look at a map or something. I'll send you a link to it.
In terms of the number of people, how many people live in Canada?
Many. I don't know, what is the last census? Let's see what the last count was. Let's see what we got here. 31.6 million.
So actually, that's bigger than London in population size as well. Damn.
There's a lot that we have that's bigger than what you got in London.
Yes, show off.
So anyway, London Meets.
Yes, it's going to be on the 1st of July, 3 p.m. till late, and it's in the J.D. Woodens Weatherspoons pub, Goodman's Fields, which is kind of in the East End of London. It's probably nearest Aldgate, Tower Hill Tube, Aldgate Tube, and Aldgate East Tube are all in walking distance.
The hell did you just say? Was that an address or like a kind of a spot in London-ish that people can might find EVE players?
Well, they were fairly easy to detect.
I'm just not from London, but this is. I look at that and I say, even if I was visiting London, I wouldn't have the slightest clue how to find what you just talked about. But
we're fairly easy to find EVE players. It's just like, just follow your nose.
Look for the guys wearing the Soon t-shirts.
But believe me, I mean, you've been to FanFest, Blinky. There's certain people you really should wash more often there. We know what I mean.
Yes. Yes, indeed. They're interesting bunches. Where's
Yes, but anyway, the pub is on Mansell Street, 79 to 91 Mansell Street, which is Aldgate, London. So it's a J.D. Weatherspoons pub. We actually had our last London meet in there as well. And 98 of us reprobate EVE players have confirmed we're coming, plus another 21 maybes.
Hmm.
And there's generally quite a few more than that. And yeah, because the last one was really fun, although of course I didn't get really drunk and start singing along One Arm Our Empire. There's only one Arm Our Empire. No, that didn't happen at all with me and CBA.
You singing, it's just not... Not recommended.
You love it.
Not recommended.
Probably not a good thing for a Kaldari to sing either, really, but you know.
No, it's not good.
So anyway, it was a really, really good thing. It's actually a special one. It's being organised by Midnighter, he of the brightly coloured clothes and big goggles. And it's his birthday and Roger's birthday, Rog Blake.
Oh, cool.
Our friend, so that's pretty cool. So that's even more reason to go.
Are you going to give him another birthday kiss this year?
I don't see why not.
Okay.
The restraining order. Forgot about that.
Yeah, that.
Goddamn judge.
Because of what he caught from you last year, I guess. It's just my guess. Hey, look, there's a Vancouver meeting.
Is there? How far are you from Vancouver?
It's fair drive.
but it's drive distance. It's not hop on a plane distance.
It would be hop on a plane distance, actually. Drive distance would be like, I've got all the time in the world to do nothing but sit on the road and drive places, that kind of drive distance. No, this would be, yeah, you're looking at it. It'll be a couple hours flight, maybe. That'll be interesting.
Tempted?
What?
But you are tempted here.
Not given the schedule that's coming up too fast for me. Like, I can't, I wouldn't be able to take time off for it, because it's taking place during the week. But, interesting. There's one there.
Cool. Speaking about Eve gatherings, FanFest flights and tickets and things are out. Go to the FanFest section of the Eve website. We're not confirmed to go, but I'm certainly planning to go. I don't know about you, sir.
Not confirmed. More info later. Well, we'll have to see. Want to go.
Yeah, I want to.
If that means anything. but yeah, we'll have to see how this works out for work scheduling and all that stuff. So, all right. So while we were recording our podcast, the power went out for all of Urban's village. Yes, he lives in a village. Isn't that cute? Which is kind of funny, given that he actually works in the power generation sort of industry. So, quality work, Urban. Good job. But we were pretty much going to close out the podcast right after that last item in community news anyways. So, on behalf of Urban and I, thanks again for listening. We'll see you again next week. Promise. And fly safe.
Some things in life are bad. They can really make you mad. Other things just make you swear and curse. When you're chewing on life's gristle, that grumble, give a whistle, and this'll help things turn out for the best. And always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the light side of life. If life seems jolly rotten, there's something you've forgotten, and that's to laugh and smile and dance and sing. When you're feeling in the dumps, don't be silly chumps, just purse your lips and whistle, that's the thing. Hey.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Come on.
Always look on.
It's quite absurd, and death's the final word. You must always face the curtain with a bow. Forget about your scene, give the audience a grin. Enjoy it, it's your last chance anyhow.
So always look on the bright side of death. Just before you draw your terminal breath.
Life's a piece of shit when you look at it. Life's a laugh and death's a joke, it's true. You'll see it's all a show. Keep them laughing as you go. Just remember that the last laugh is on you. And
always look on the bright side of life. Always look on the right side of life.
Come from nothing, you know what I say? Oh, cheer up, you old bugger. Come on, give us a quiz. There you are. See? It's the end of the film. Incidentally, this record's available in the foyer. Some of us got to live as well, you know. All right, it's a lot. Let's get this place up there. I can change this man within 3 weeks. What do you think pays for this rubbish? I'll never make the money back, you know.
Always look on the bright side of life.
Bernie, I said, they'll never make that money back.